This podcast is brought to you by Good Hope Baptist Church, broadcasting from Cary, North Carolina. Visit us online at goodhopechurch.org or at 919-467-8526.
Early 2 Timothy chapter 1 and Acts chapter 16. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and Acts chapter 16. I was thinking about some of the phrases that we use around Mother's Day. One of them is, we're going to come back to it. Abraham Lincoln said, "No man is poor who has had a godly mother." Abraham Lincoln said, "No man is poor who has had a godly mother." And I think that that's going to be what we talk about this morning. But there were some other phrases that I want us to think about as well. You know, there was one that says the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. I was reading earlier this week about another little phrase that was a part of that that said the hand that rocks the cradle is usually attached to someone who needs more sleep. You know, that can be true. How about this phrase? Behind every great man is a greater woman. I was reading another version of that that I like as well. It said, behind every great man is a surprise mother-in-law. But you have, you know, if you have been raised in a godly home, man, you have been blessed indeed. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. We have the legacy of a godly mother. A legacy of a godly mother. If you have found 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you would please stand in honor of reading God's word one last time. 2 Timothy chapter 1 says this in verse 5. "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, Timothy, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." Can you turn one page over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15? It says that from childhood, Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then it goes into, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." But this idea of from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, and then flip over to Acts chapter 16. The first three verses here, it says, "Then he," Paul, "came to Derbe and Lystra." This is the second time he came. "And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. Dear Lord, I pray that you would speak to us from this passage. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen." You may be seated. Church History magazine declared that outside of the Apostle Paul and outside of Jesus Christ himself, the most influential Christian who ever lived was a man named St. Augustine. And he was born around 354 A.D., and a lot of times we hear a great deal about Augustine. He made the phrase very popular that said, "God has made us for himself, and our hearts are restless until we find our rest in thee." Now that's a good statement for us to remember. He wrote well over 250 books in his lifetime, many of them large. He wrote over 1,000 pamphlets. Somebody counted up with a computer 5 million words that he wrote in theology and literature. He stands as a tower in church history of his influence and of the power that he was able to use for the glory of God. But oftentimes we don't hear his whole story. He came to faith in Christ when he was 31 years old. And we don't remember some of his background. His father was an unbeliever. And yet his father was married to a godly Christian woman named Monica. And Monica grieved a great deal over the fact that her children were not believers. She grieved a great deal that her husband was not a believer. She grieved a great deal that her mother-in-law was not a believer, but she lived her life in such a way where she was a godly example to those around her. So some said, wrote about her life and said that even when there was a disagreement among two or three parties, she would try to go and reconcile those parties without speaking ill of any party. She was such a godly example. Augustine would later on say that she was like that 1 Peter chapter 3 woman who says that by her lifestyle, the man in the home who is not a believer will be won to Christ just because of the lifestyle of a godly woman in the home. And Augustine would say that about his own mother. She prayed over and over and over again for her family to be saved. She prayed over and over again that her son, Augustine, would not follow the ways of the world, the ways that he had learned from the world around him. And she grieved such a great deal. He decided to move, and when he moved, she moved with him. She was a widow at the time, and she went to church with a man where a man named Ambrose was preaching. And she would go to Ambrose, and she would pray over her son. She would weep over her son, the lostness of her son. Her son was well-cultured. Her son was successful. Her son could speak magnificently. He taught rhetoric even as a teenager. He was well-educated, a very successful man, but lost. Lost in his sins, and she would grieve and she would weep over this young man of hers, her son. And she prayed and prayed, prayed with Ambrose. Ambrose made the phrase, said, "How could God not save a man whose mother has wept and persevered like you have over the life of your son?" I mean, this is the grief that she was involved in. But she began to praise the Lord over little signs in Augustine's life. The first one was the fact that that Augustine began to have a relationship with Ambrose. And Ambrose was preaching, and then he would answer questions to Augustine. And little by little, Ambrose, praise the Lord, led Augustine to faith in Jesus. And it was a wonderful day for his mother. And she died a couple years after that. But she died a happy woman. Let me tell you why. Because in her lifetime, her mother-in-law gave her life to Christ. Her son, at the age of 31, gave his life to Christ. And even her husband, who had been lost all of his life, toward the end of his life, prayed to receive Christ right before he died. And so she died a happy, happy, happy woman. And I think of her life when I think about the influence and impact of a godly Christian woman. Even in a mixed home, even in a home where there's an unbeliever as a husband, and they have mixed values and they have mixed ideas about how to raise a family and priorities in life. And here you have this illustrated in the life of Monica, but here you also have it illustrated in the life of Timothy. Timothy was a product of a godly grandmother, Lois, and a godly mother, Eunice. But the father, we don't know much about. We do know he was a Greek. We believe that he was not a believer, but we do believe that he was also warm to the idea of Lois and Eunice teaching him the scriptures. He just didn't follow the Lord the way a good Jewish family would. He was Greek. He could have been Jewish. He could have followed the customs and followed right along and become a good Jewish family. He could have circumcised Timothy as a symbol of the Jewish faith, but he didn't. But yet he was okay with the grandmother and the mother bathing little young Timothy in the scriptures. I want you to see what the impact of a godly mother would look like for you in your home. Maybe you are this woman. Maybe you are in a mixed environment where you are struggling and you're grieving over the condition of your children. Maybe you're that mother of a 30-year-old or a 25-year-old, and you're saying, what can I do? How can I continue to impact my children? And at one point in Monica's life, she just basically said, I can't talk to him anymore, but I can pray for him. And I can pray that God would move on his heart. When our words fail, God's word never fails. When our words cease being an influence and an impact in the life of our children, God's word and God's power can overcome no matter what. So you have three different things I want you to see that in the life of Eunice. The first one is that God, in order to be a godly mother, first of all, there has to be a sincere faith. A sincere faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, he says this. He says, when I call to remembrance, here it is, the genuine faith. You know what that word genuine is? It means unhypocritical. Your version, if it's King James, unfeigned faith or unfeigned faith. And it's a good Bible word. It means not hypocritical. It means authentic. It means a lifestyle. And Paul says, when I think about the genuine faith that is in you, Timothy, I'm reminded because it first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And now I am persuaded it is in you also. When were Lois and Eunice converted? During Paul's first missionary journey, he goes around to Lystra. And he teaches them. And this is when we believe that Eunice and Lois came to faith in Christ. We'll see later on, they were bathed in the Old Testament scriptures. And if you ever read the walk to Emmaus in Luke chapter 24, where the two disciples were walking along some person, they didn't know who it was, but it was Jesus, kind of in disguise. And Jesus took the Old Testament, and he just started from Genesis and worked all the way through and pointed out how the Old Testament points to Jesus, points to Jesus, points to Jesus. And then he disappeared. In the same way, Lois and Eunice's hearts were bathed in the Old Testament scriptures. The Old Testament scriptures that were hungry for a Messiah. Hungry to see who is going to be the redemption of Israel. We're good, solid Jews. We follow the Old Testament scriptures. We followed the customs, but yet there's a hunger and a thirst for the real Messiah to appear. And so when Paul comes in the first missionary journey to this area, they are primed and ready to give their life to Christ. And they do. Praise the Lord. Somewhere between, but at that first missionary journey, if you'll recall in Acts chapter 14, this is when Paul was beaten and badly wounded to the point that everyone thought he was dead. He was beaten and thrown out of the city. And so perhaps Eunice and Lois see this in front of them. Maybe even young Timothy, who we think is a young teenager at the time. Paul and Barnabas, they do their first missionary journey. They go back to Antioch and they say, we need to go back to all the places that we established churches in, and we just need to reaffirm the brothers and sisters in Christ there. And so in Acts chapter 16, it takes you through the journey of the second missionary journey where he goes back through these places. And this is when, in Acts chapter 16, he sees for maybe the first time this young disciple named Timothy. And he's greatly impressed with this young disciple, who's probably an older teenager at this point. And Paul says, I need him on my journey. He's not got Barnabas anymore. He's got Silas with him. And he says, I need to take him with me on my missionary journeys. Lois, Eunice, how about it? Can I take your son with me to go share Jesus with other people? Now, time out. Imagine you're Lois. Imagine you're Eunice. You remember what those people did to Paul in the first missionary journey. And yet, these ladies, especially Eunice, said, yes, you may take him. And Timothy goes and becomes who we know as a great church leader. Pastor of the church of Ephesus. Paul writes 1 and 2 Timothy to young Timothy. He encourages him. Timothy is like that young son in the faith. Paul actually calls him my child in the faith, my true child in the faith. He even says in Philippians where he acknowledges Timothy and says, these are the kind of men that you need to honor as a church. And you say, what happened? Well, Timothy, I am convinced that you have an unhypocritical faith. I am convinced you have an authentic, genuine faith. And it didn't start with you. It started with your grandmother. And it started with your mother. And I am persuaded it is in you also. Do you know what the name Timothy means? It means God-fearing. So even from birth, Eunice named him Timothy, the God-fearer. You know what it says to me? Eunice's faith was visible. It was vocal. It was authentic. And now listen, it was a lifestyle. It wasn't just something that she did on Saturdays, which was their Sabbath, and that's when they would go to the synagogue. No, it wasn't just something that she did occasionally. No, this was a lifestyle. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it also describes that from infancy, really, it says from childhood, that's a Greek word that means infancy. From infancy, you were taught the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise and lead you to salvation, Timothy. Well, how did they do that? They did it because it was a lifestyle. When you rise up, when you sit down, when you lie down, when you walk, when you stop, all those Deuteronomy ideas that we read earlier in the service. It was a lifestyle. Here's my question to you. Are you the kind of woman where it can be said that this is a lifestyle for you? Or is it a Sunday only kind of faith that you hold? Did you know your children know if it's real or not? Did you know others around you know if it's real or not? How will we tell if it's real or not? Those who are closest to you will know if it's real. You know, as we're kind of far away from everyone, and everyone looks so happy and smiling, and everyone looks so really in tune with God. But as you get closer to someone, then you begin to rub shoulders with them, and you begin to really see their values, and you really begin to see their faith. Is it sincere? Is it something that is genuine? I remember going to Disney World, and Lydia and I were there. I remember the first time I went, we were seniors in high school. And I just remember walking, turning in this area, and then all of a sudden I saw, it was like New York City, right in the middle of Disney World. Has anybody been there? You know what I'm talking about? You've seen Disney, I mean, it's New York City, right there, Times Square, and I'm looking at it, and I think it's Times Square anyway, but I'm looking at it, I'm seeing these skyscraper buildings, and I'm saying to myself, and I even told Lydia, I said, how? How did they put a city in Disney World? They have everything. And then as I began to walk closer and closer and closer, all of a sudden it began to be evident that this wasn't the real buildings. These were big cardboard or big wooden cutouts, and it just looked like it. They had drawn it in such a way to make you really believe that it was a 3D. This is a city. This is downtown city. But as you get closer, you can see if it's real or not. And that's no different than the way you and I are. Those who are closest to us, our children, our brothers, our sisters, those who are in our church family, men who have come alongside of us as other men, women who have come alongside you as other ladies. You begin to hear their values. You begin to hear their hurts. You begin to hear their priorities. You see them for who they really are. Here's my question. Do you have an authentic, visible, vocal faith that you can pass on to someone else? What is the legacy of a godly mother? It's a sincere faith. But not only a sincere faith. Look at in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Turn over there again. It's not just a sincere faith. It's also a significant foundation to build a life. It's a significant foundation on which to build a life. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, that you weren't raised on just the philosophies of this world, Timothy. No, you were raised on the Old Testament scriptures that were able to make you wise and to point you to Jesus. It's not enough for us to just have a passion for the Lord. We must pass on to our children a solid foundation. A solid foundation that they can build a life on. You say, Pastor, I did do that. You know, some of us have laid a solid foundation that you could build a skyscraper on. And then the children come along and they build a little doghouse on top of it. Well, I'm going to tell you a truth of Scripture that is a principle. It's not a promise, but it is a principle. You can write it down. It's Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. You know what that verse means to me? It means that as I lay out this solid, grounded foundation that you can build a skyscraper on, you can really build a life on it, that even if they come along and they build a little doghouse on top of it, that there's going to come a time in their life where they're going to brush that doghouse aside and they're going to build that skyscraper that can be built on the foundation that was laid. Now, this is the truth of God's word. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Laying a solid foundation on which to build a life. Teaching them the word of God, not just from childhood. You say, 8 or 9 years old, Pastor, that's when I'm going to start. That's too late. It says from infancy in 2 Timothy chapter 3:15, from infancy you have been taught the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise and also lead you to salvation. You know what that idea of train, when you look up in the Hebrew, the idea of train up a child in the way he should go, you know what it means? It's got two different ideas that I want to share with you. The first idea is that of discipline, and we understand that. We know how discipline works. You begin to set parameters and say, you're going to do this and you're not going to do that. You're going to set a fence for someone and you're going to say, this is where you are to live and this is how you are to live and this is what you are to do. That's one idea of training up a child, to train, to discipline. Discipline is a positive word, by the way. It's not just supposed to be a negative word. You're little by little helping to coach them into life. But there's a second idea that I want you to hear. It's the idea of to touch the palate. In Proverbs 22, verse 6, when he says, train up a child in the way he should go, he's saying, touch the palate. And what was it? If you are a Hebrew midwife, did you know one of the practices that they did after the baby came out of the womb? That little midwife would crush some dates onto her hand. And then she would have that date juice on her fingers, and she would put it right into the mouth of that little baby. And what it would do is it would make a sucking action for the little baby, and it would make them thirsty for more. They wanted more, and it would train that little child to nurse properly. Train up a child. Touch the palate. What does it mean? Train up a child in the way he should go. Touch the palate. Make that little child thirsty and hungry for the ways of God. Make that little child thirsty to know God, to know who he is, to understand his ways, to hear his voice, to learn, just like he was real to you, that he would be real to your children and grandchildren as well. Touch the palate. Help them be hungry. It's our job not just to set parameters, but it's also our job to cast the idea and cast the vision out there to help them be hungry for the word of God, hungry for the things of God. How do you do this? You say, Pastor, I hear you, but how do I do that? You can sing songs in your home. Sing godly songs. I had a mother who would sing. And there are often times, Miss Glenda, when we sing on Wednesday night, that I'll come up to you afterwards and I'll say, now that was a song that Mama used to sing to me. And I say that all the time, over and over again. That's a song that Mama used to sing. Or that's a song she got me to sing. We had open mic night several months back where I sang a couple of songs. And those were songs that my mama sang to me. And then she, what does it do? It's touching the palate. It's making me want to learn to sing and make me want to express myself, express my love to God in a singing kind of way. Sing songs, not just sing the world songs. Don't waste your time doing that. Sing songs that glorify Jesus. Sing songs that honor Him. We have Awana on Wednesday nights. But quite frankly, it should just partner with what you're already doing in your home to help your children memorize God's Word. Don't just sing songs, but then take time to, from infancy. Can't you just imagine Lois and Eunice putting this little baby on their knee and talking to them about Daniel in the lion's den? Talking to them about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Talking to them about Adam and Eve. Talking to them about David and Goliath. And helping them understand not just the principles of the Word. Now listen, Timothy understood more than just the Bible stories. Look back here in 2 Timothy 3:15. He says this, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. That word known is oida, and it means an intimate knowledge. It means something that is beyond surface level. Timothy, you not only know the Bible stories, you know the principles of God's Word. You were taught those principles not just from your adulthood, not just from your teenage years, but from not just childhood, but from infancy. you were learning not just the Bible stories, but the principles behind the Bible stories, principles that would make you wise and help you live. Put pictures up in your home of Jesus or of scriptures like we have in here, you know, different verses of scripture. Prioritize the things that are happening at a local church. Prioritize not your soccer schedule, not your baseball schedule, not your all your activities. Prioritize the Word of God in the home. Prioritize the church services so that you can, again, touch the palate of that little child. There are children's camps we offer. There are youth camps. There are youth mission trips that we go on. Things that can touch the palate of your child. And you're saying, well, I'm not really sure because, you know, we've got vacation during that time. Or I'm not really sure because we have this ball camp that I wanted to send them to. What is more important to you? Did you know your family will know what's most important to you? Here's a good question for us to kind of gauge where we are. Would you rather your child make $1 million or be a missionary to Africa? Would you rather your child be Miss America or Mr. Universe? Or would you rather him be a godly Sunday school teacher, godly deacon, godly elder, godly person who serves faithfully for years and years and years in a local church, maybe unknown from everyone else, but yet known to Jesus? What would you rather have? Here's my point. Did you know your family knows what that answer is? By the life you live, by the values you hold. And see what this godly mother, Eunice, and the grandmother, Lois, what they had. They didn't just have a sincere faith. It was authentic. It was vocal. It was visible. But it was also a solid foundation on which that young Timothy could build a real life, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he'll not depart. Lastly, I want you to see the last thing. Here it is. It's not just enough to give your child roots. We just talked about the roots. A strong faith, and then also a solid foundation on which to build a life. But now listen, it's not just enough to give your child roots. We must not stop there. Eunice gave her son wings. There was not just a faith, there was not just a foundation, there was also, listen, a sacrificial freedom. Why would I say a sacrificial freedom? Did you know it's going to be a sacrifice for you and a sacrifice for me to really give our children back to God? To really say, God, have your way in my child's life. You spoke to me. You helped me know what I was to do with my life. You said to me what you wanted me to do and how you wanted to use me. And just like you spoke to me, I know you want to speak to my child as well. And now listen, God, you can have him. God, you can use him. However you want to use him, use him. However you want to use her, use her. Did you know a godly Christian woman will not just give her child roots, but will also give her child wings? And it's a sacrifice on your part. It's a sacrificial freedom to serve God. It's a sacrificial freedom to obey God, to do what God has put on their heart, to live out the way that God has worked inside of their life. And they come to you and they say, Mama, Daddy, I feel like God has told me to do this. And what is your response going to be? You can do anything you want to do, son, daughter. You can do anything and be anyone you want to be as long as you do it within a 15-mile radius of my house. Amen or oh me, I'm telling you. That I've been in youth ministry and I've been a pastor. I've heard enough of it. I know that we want our children close, and I get that. But a godly Christian woman, and a godly Christian man for that matter, will give that child wings and realize the end game is not that they can hover around you for the rest of their life. No, that's not the end game. The end game is that God would use them in a wonderful way that you don't even understand, because you're not God. Deuteronomy 32, verse 11, you can write that verse of Scripture down. It references how God handled Israel and says, as an eagle stirs up her nest, so God was working in the life of Israel. And it had this idea of the of what an eagle does. It stirs up the nest. And I think of this when I think about a sacrificial freedom. Did you know when it comes to an eagle, it's really fascinating when you study it a little bit. They have these nests that are far up above the trees, high up on the ground, from the ground. And they have this mama eagle will put these briars and sticks and all of this kind of stuff to make the shape of the nest. And then on top of that, she'll then take feathers and she'll take a stuffing of different items here or there and pad that nest to make it nice and comfortable and cozy. And so now she's had her eaglets. And now she brings the food to the eaglets. And the eaglets, all they have to do is just sit there and keep their mouth open. And you say, man, that's the life. But there will come a time in that eaglet's life. You know what will happen? This is what happens. It's time to fly. But that eaglet doesn't want to fly. That eaglet doesn't want to go anywhere. I mean, would you? You're comfortable and cozy. You're warm. And you, all you have to do is stick your mouth open and the food comes in. Oh, no, I've made good friendships with my brother and sister here. And mama, I love you. You're not going to throw me out, are you? That mama eagle does something that you and I can learn from. That mama eagle will first begin to take the feathers out of that nest, little by little. All of a sudden, it's making the little eaglets uncomfortable, because where there was cushion, now there are briars and thorns that are sticking and jabbing the rear ends of these little eaglets and poking them where they don't want to be poked and making it uncomfortable. No, no, this isn't good. Mama, you've lost your mind. And then, once all the feathers are gone and all the cushion is gone and now it's just briars there, way up into the sky, you know what that eagle does? That mama eagle, when it's time to fly, she will push that eaglet out of the nest. Down, 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 down. The eaglet is falling. That eaglet doesn't know how to fly. And just right at the last second, that eagle will come swoop down and pick up that little eaglet and take her back up, or him up, back up to the nest. Training day is over today. We're going to have school tomorrow, just like we had today. Next day it happens again. Next day it happens again. Gets the push from the back, out the nest. And then, you know, when you get back into the nest, it's not really like it's that comfortable. That eaglet gets in their minds, it's time for me to get out and fly. Now listen, that's how God says he stirs up the nest. And that's how God worked in the life of Israel. Now listen, that's how we are to work in the lives of our children. To not just give them roots. Lois and Eunice gave that boy wings. Paul comes around, second missionary journey. He says, I see some promise in that Timothy of yours. I see Timothy. He's a young disciple. And my goodness, God can really use him. You know, we can read into the ideas that there was a service where there were hands laid on Timothy. That could have happened before or after. There were prophecies spoken over Timothy's life that God's going to use him in a mighty way. That could have happened before or after. All I know is there was something that caught Paul's eye, that great missionary statesman, and he said, Timothy, you need to come with me. And Timothy said, yes. I've told you this before in the life of Susanna Wesley with her two boys, John and Charles Wesley. John Wesley, he knew he was going to be called to he was being called to the Americas to be a missionary, but Susanna was aged at the time, and this was going to mean separation. Maybe John would never get to see his mama, Susanna, ever again, this side of eternity. And he said, I can't make this decision. It's too difficult for me. He said, ask my mama. If she says I can go on the mission field, then I'll go. Now, right or wrong, this is just what he did. And they asked Susanna, can your son go on this mission field? And she said this, if I had 10,000 sons, I wish that all of them could go and do what John is being asked to do, whether I see him again or not. Now, this is a godly woman who has given her son or daughter wings. And they recognize this stewardship that we have is only for a time. And there will come a time where God will want to use them in many different ways, the way He's using you. He will want to speak to them the way He has spoken to you. It will be a sacrifice on your part. But my question is, are you willing to be the kind of godly woman who will not just give your child a foundation, not just let them see your faith, but also give them freedom to obey God? Did you know people have said for many, many years that we can understand a little bit of God's love when we look at the love of a mother? The love of a mother, I mean, she does everything for her children. She sacrifices of herself, of her time, of her energy. There was one mama who, she was having a terrible day. She had a little one-year-old that she was taking care of. But she was over here and something broke. And then she was over here working on this. And then she was just frantic. She, you know, her hair was frazzled. She was just in a mess. She was exhausted. Hours of slaving. And then finally she just sat down and she just put her head like this and facing her little baby son. And her little baby son, you know what he did? All he's been doing is sucking on his passy this whole time, just watching her. And he took his passy out and gave it to her. Maybe you need this more than me. The life of a mother, I mean, it just never ends. The sacrifice of a mother, it never ends. And so we can get a sense of the selfless love of God from the life of our mother. Praise the Lord if you had a godly mother in your home. One story, and I close. There was a mother who, she had only one child. She had lost her husband early in life, and so she had this one son, and this son was planning on going to war. And she said she reluctantly allowed him to go to war. She had a neighbor who had five sons and still had her husband. And sure enough, this woman lost her son in battle. And it was tragic. But what made it even harder to deal with was the fact that her neighbor, who had five sons, all of which were in battle, she lost none of her sons. And here this woman, who doesn't even have her husband left, lost her son as well. And it was hard to get over. All of a sudden, she had a dream. One night, she had a dream. And in the dream, there was an angel who appeared to her. And this angel said, I've heard your bitterness. I've heard your grieving. I'm going to give your son back to you for one 10-minute period of time in his life. Now, what would you like, for what time in his life would you like to have back? Is it when he was a nursing baby? Was it when he had his little chubby hands and he was a little toddler? Was it when he learned how to read? Was it when he was a little bit older and he was moving around and being active? Maybe it was when he was a teenager. How about when he was fully dressed and ready to go off to battle and you said your last goodbye? What time period would you like to have back? And she said, this is easy. She said, there was a time when he was young, and he wanted me to give him something, and I said no. And I stayed strong and said, no, you're not going to have this item or this thing. And he yelled at me in response, and he said, I hate you. I don't want to be around you. I'm leaving. Just as a young boy, he broke his mother's heart, and he ran off. And he ran off into the garden. A couple of minutes later, he comes back. And he's weeping. And he's got his fists are full of wet dew soaked from his own tears. And he says, Mama, I'm sorry. I've been a bad boy. I don't mean that. I love you. Please forgive me. And then said, will you hug me? And she said, she grabbed her son during that moment. And she said, I never loved him like I loved him at that moment. When he was grabbing me with repentance and with love. And here's the point. Did you know that God loves you most when you, as that little child, who have shook your fist at God time and time again, and you said, I don't want you in my life, God. I don't want you around. But then you come back to Him, and you say, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I do want you in my life. I do want to acknowledge you as the Son of God. Will you hug me? And God wraps His arms around you and will love you like He has never loved you before, because you have acknowledged your sin and you have repented. Let's pray. Father, in this sort of moment where we have just reflected on the power of a godly mother in the home, Lord, we endeavor to give our children roots and wings. Lord, maybe there's a woman here who has a heavy heart for the lives of her children. Maybe her child has come today just to honor her. Maybe that child, as an adult, has said, Mama, I love you so much. But yet that adult child is far from you, God. They've said yes to their mama, but they've said no to you, Lord. I pray that you have used this message to help them realize that you are constantly speaking to them to come back home. Not just come home to mama, but to come back home to you. Lord, all of us have sinned. All of us have lived in such a way where we are repenting. Some of us have acknowledged our sin. And some of us have come back to you and have said, Father, we're sorry. Won't you hug me? Lord, your word says that you will come running to us if we go walking to you. Dear God, I just pray that all of us in this room search our hearts and say, do we have that genuine faith? Oh, we want our children to have a faith. But are we the kind of men and women who can be a shining example of what it means to be a man or woman of integrity, of godliness, Christ-like character, living out our life in the way that you would have us, dear Lord? Can others that are closest to us see it? We don't have to be perfect, because none of us are perfect. But we must live in such a way to pass on that faith. Lord, maybe we're here, we're having a hard time letting our child go. We love them so much, but we know we must, so that you can do with them as you want, so that you can accomplish your purposes in their life. Maybe they're not a baby like we dedicated this morning, but we too can say, dear God, you gave them to us, we give them back to you. Lord, maybe there's someone here who has never surrendered their life to you. They've shook their fist at you. They've run from you. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to them and woo them into a relationship with your Son, Jesus. Help them realize that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to avoid. And help them know that eternity is just around the corner. Jesus' name.
This podcast is brought to you by Good Hope Baptist Church, broadcasting from Cary, North Carolina. Visit us online at goodhopechurch.org or at 919-467-8526.